Hello and welcome back to Highly Successful Couples. I'm your host, Nick Solichak, and today we're going to talk about a very common question that I get. How do I communicate with someone who is highly defensive? They don't want to hear feedback. They don't want to hear criticism or any sentiments that things need to change around here. So we're going to unpack this because there's a lot going on under the surface. I coach couples to understand that constructive criticism doesn't have a place in a highly successful relationship. We need to find a more evolved way of talking about what we want and need, what we desire, what's exciting for us. We can still set standards and boundaries and hold ourselves and our partner accountable without being critical. And that is an art form. It's something that is difficult to do, but it can be done. So first, if you are in this situation, you probably feel like every time you try to talk about something real, your partner gets defensive, shuts down, blames you, or changes the subject. And it's like there's a wall up or an invisible or very visible shield. The very least you can feel it, and you might feel alone in your efforts to be heard and have them understand more about where you are coming from. And this is a painful place to be because it creates this feeling of being invisible and neglected, like you don't matter, you're not that important. And it creates this impossible scenario where you just have to settle for what you've got because your partner is unaware of how their defensiveness is making you feel, right? They're not aware of their defensiveness. And in previous discussions, we've talked about how defensiveness is one of the four horsemen. It's one of the characteristics that, if present, is proven to contribute to relationship dissatisfaction and divorce. So defensiveness erodes our connection. It impacts the level of trust and emotional safety, but it's also a characteristic that's common amongst human beings, even those of us who have done some work on ourselves. And it's sneaky, and it can show up, really completely outside of our awareness because of our deeper fears and wounds that we have. The thing is that defensiveness, while it's common, it also can fuel contempt, which is another one of the toxic four horsemen traits. And that's a big deal because contempt is the single greatest predictor of divorce, according to Dr. John Gottman's research. And if you're not familiar with John Gottman or the four horsemen, I'd recommend going back and listening to episode 10 because we unpack these in depth and why they matter and what you can do about it. So if you have chronic defensiveness in your relationship and it goes unaddressed, this is basically the path that you're on. Okay. I don't have a crystal ball, but John Gottman and his team, they were able to predict divorce with a 93% accuracy when certain levels of negativity and when certain traits are present. Now, some of us stay stuck despite our best efforts. Everything we try, reading books, listening to podcasts, going to therapy. Some of us don't get help and support and we just survive the dynamic. Some of us don't do anything about these patterns. We just kind of live with them. But for those of you listening to this, you are probably not one of those people who's just going to give up on life and give up on having a great relationship. You are not the person who's just going to settle for bad behavior. You want more for yourself and for your life and your relationships, and I'm with you on that. So, what can you do? As a starting point, self-regulation is a big deal. You being able to bring a calm and grounded energy to these moments with your partner is going to make an impact on how you are heard, right? How they receive you. How we say things often determines a lot about how our partner hears it. The challenge is that a defensive person is always scanning for threats, and they need a high level of emotional safety before they can even hear you. So we got to be mindful of how we approach them if they're highly sensitive. And this is something that a lot of people miss. A highly defensive person is a highly sensitive person. They might come off as tough or cold or dismissive or unaffected or however else, you want to describe them, but they're highly sensitive. And if they weren't so sensitive, they wouldn't get so defensive. If they weren't insecure about something, they wouldn't shut you down. And if they had the ability to recognize their own shame and their own feelings of not being good enough, they would show up differently. If they had a greater capacity to hold their own shame, they could take responsibility for that and admit that they feel that on some level, and they'd be able to communicate about that. So the highly defensive person has major growth opportunities. Okay, let's just say that. But so do you, because we all do. And if you are with a highly defensive partner, one of the growth opportunities for you might be leading with curiosity instead of criticism, because that's what curiosity does. It serves connection, and criticism serves defensiveness. So you got to find a way to share about your feelings with your partner in a way that doesn't tear them down, right? Doesn't put them down or make them the one to blame for the issues, even though I agree there are things that they are doing that might not be helpful to the relationship, and it might appear to you that they are the one to blame. We still need to find a way to talk without tearing each other down. So you got to remember, we're dealing with a defensive person who has a hard time taking responsibility for things. So we might have to start slow, right? We might have to be gentle. What's interesting is that this kind of person who can appear as stoic or unaffected by things or not have a lot of big feelings, sometimes the highly defensive person shows up this way. They're really needy in terms of how much effort it can take to kind of reach them or get through to them. And a lot of people miss that. So I know that you do not want to baby your partner. You want to be with a mature adult, not a child that needs coddling. And I'm with you, I get it. But there's an issue here with the inner child, right? There's an issue from the past which is playing a role in your adult relationship. And your partner's defensiveness is connected to major patterns from their past. So you might think or you might fear that it is all about you, but I promise that it is not. And on the flip side of their inner child and their historic story or context or wounding, you also have a past. You also have a childhood experience that plays a role in your adult relationship. So you've got to own your own experience as well. And that is using I statements that are grounded in your experience and your feelings, your fears, the context of your childhood, instead of just focusing all about their behavior and the things that they do and don't do. Instead of saying, "You never listen to me," you could try, "I would love to talk with you about this because when I feel listened to, when I feel heard by you, it makes me feel really connected to you. Would now be a good time to talk?" Right? That's just an example. There are many ways that you could say that. I'm just suggesting that we can get creative with how we bring things up, how we address issues. We got to be careful. We can't address everything all at once in one moment. We got to go piece by piece, one conversation at a time. Obviously, our partner can take anything we say the wrong way, no matter how masterfully or artfully we do it. They can take anything personally. But we also need to take responsibility of how we are showing up, how we are holding our body, our facial gestures, right? How we're glaring at them, or do we have more of an open, calm expression on our face? We have an opportunity to regulate. We have an opportunity to approach our partner with a calm, loving tone and try different approaches to getting our needs met so that we don't end up abandoning ourselves over time. Now, some of you are in a difficult situation. If you are in this kind of relationship, it makes sense that you feel stuck because maybe things feel negative very often. Or in those moments where you go to talk to your partner about something, it just gets negative. Right? Every time you try to bring things up, talk to your partner, address the challenges that are going on, the conversation is shut down. Maybe you end up being the one to blame. The conversation is flipped back on you. Your partner doesn't get where you're coming from. Or, you know, they just take everything personally, make it mean something bad about them instead of asking you how they can love you better. And the conversation usually escalates into an argument over a bunch of other unresolved issues that have come up over the years, or maybe name calling and other abusive things that couples do to each other. So let's now shift into a territory that might be a little bit uncomfortable for some of you. Because here's the uncomfortable truth. If you are with this person, and this is not an arranged marriage by your family, if you are with this person, you dated them, you chose them, you deepened the relationship, you moved in with them, you married them, and if you don't live together, you have at least stayed in this relationship. And now the defensiveness is no longer just their pattern, it is part of your dynamic. And this is an important point because what has happened to you is that somehow, some way, your power has been taken away, you've given it up, and you've played a role in that. And this has happened for one reason or another. So that's something that we can all look at, our own role in the dynamic. This is not making an excuse for the highly defensive person. This is not justifying their behavior and saying it's all your fault. It's simply about taking ownership. So what I'm pointing to here is that you might feel powerless. You might feel powerless all the time, or you might feel it in those moments where you want to talk about something, or you try to talk about something and it gets shut down. So maybe you just don't know what to do. Everything you've tried hasn't worked, or it's delivered mixed results. And for one reason or another, you have allowed this dynamic to continue. We've all got our reasons. Some that we're aware of and some that we're not. We don't want to break up. We don't want to split up the family. We can't imagine our life without our partner. We want to protect the kids. We aren't sure about how we would afford living on our own, etc. But those are just the surface level reasons, even if they make sense to all of us, right? And that maybe some of these are good reasons. On a deeper level, we don't want our deepest fears to come true. And one of the deepest fears that you might have is that you were unlovable, unworthy, and that no one will ever treat you like you matter. Because the person who is with the highly defensive person, highly defensive partner, they usually have deep wounds of abandonment, neglect, and invisibility. And I see this over and over again with the couples that I work with. You fear being separated. You fear being left. You fear that you are too much. Your needs are too much. Maybe you're afraid that you're crazy because your partner has told you that you are. And as a child, you felt like you weren't that important. You weren't a priority, that your needs didn't matter. And one parent or both had a hard time showing up for you, attending to your emotional needs and creating a sense of safety for you. Maybe your parents divorced, or one parent just really didn't play an active role in your life. And if any of that resonates with you, consider that you and I have never met. I don't know who is listening to this podcast. And if this resonates, just consider, how would I know this about you? How would I know anything about your parents or your childhood experience? I know because if you are with a highly defensive partner who is rigid, stubborn, and avoidant, then it is highly likely you have the flip side of that pattern going on, which is that you can be unassured, insecure, unconfident. And maybe the one who's more anxious, who feels like you're always having to pursue your partner's energy and bring things up and talk to them about things, wondering what's going on, wondering how they're feeling. Because they don't share as much with you as you share with them. So to them, you come off as smothering, needy, clingy, insecure, or someone who just asks lots of questions and like needs a lot of guidance. And if everything I've said so far resonates, then it is highly likely that your partner judges you in this way in the back of their mind, whether they have said that to you or not. And we all judge each other. We all have little judgments about each other, about the way we do things, the way we solve problems, the way that we express ourselves, the way that we handle conflict. And all of this contributes to a painful dynamic where people feel misunderstood and they use certain strategies to try and protect themselves. And this basically boils down to fighting and arguing or hiding and denying. And we all have our default autopilot method of dealing with things in relationship. And typically, whoever we fall in love with almost always uses the opposite strategies from us. So we have to ask, why is this happening? Why do we find ourselves in relationships with highly defensive people? Where did our partner learn this behavior from? What is this connected to from their childhood? What childhood pain might they be trying to avoid in their adult life? Because there are emotions we don't want to feel. There are things that are painful from our past. There are things that we've just decided to bottle up and lock away. And all of this unexamined material tends to negatively impact our love life until we learn how to deal with it. So we also have to ask, is there some covert agenda that we are trying to achieve? Are we sabotaging our own success in romantic life? Are we responsible for certain things? What are we responsible for and what are we not? And that's an important thing to have a division of responsibility. Because I can't take responsibility for all the things my partner says and does throughout the day. I can take responsibility for how I co-create the dynamic with them, even if they criticize me, even if they say something that's negative to me. I can take responsibility for how I respond. Because I can play the game, I can fight back, I can be defensive, I can put them down, right? Or I can say, oh, hey, when you said that to me, I felt a little bit of negativity and I felt a little criticized. Could we talk about this? And I'd love to understand more about where you're coming from because I'm on your team and I want to be a great partner for you. That would be a more empowered way to respond. So you got to look at yourself, look at the way you show up, the way you respond, the way you speak about things, and take responsibility for that. We want to see the reality of the situation. We don't want to make ourselves the victim. We don't want to make our partner the villain. We just want to see the reality of the situation with an open heart and an open mind. And just to acknowledge that, look, some people do recreate relationship dynamics that they experience in childhood. I would actually go further than that, which is to say, every couple that I've ever worked with, what we discover is that they do unconsciously recreate childhood dynamics in their adult relationship. And if you look closely, I'm willing to bet you will find the same thing. Most of us are unconsciously drawn to someone who fits the emotional imprints of our parents. It's not a flaw, right? It's just part of the pattern. When you met your partner, your nervous system was scanning for familiarity, not happiness. You project. Right? When we meet someone, we're in the honeymoon phase. We project that our partner will make us happy and satisfy all of our needs. But our psyche is also attracted to a familiar version of home, for better or worse. And if you have been listening to this podcast, you have heard me say this over and over again, and you might be sick and tired of hearing it, but it plays a role in this conversation as well. And we miss this because we're so focused on our partner. We're so focused on what they're not doing and how they're not showing up that we forget how each person's childhood could be playing a role in that dynamic. We project our unmet needs from our childhood onto our partner. We want them to give us safety, approval, or presence, or love, whatever we wanted and didn't get as a child. And when they don't, especially if they can't handle hard conversations about it, we feel betrayed, we feel abandoned. You know, we feel like we don't matter. But, you know, was our partner ever capable of giving us that truly? Right? Maybe in the honeymoon. Or did we project that onto them because we needed them to be that? So we hoped that they would be. We assumed that they would be. Now, if your partner can't do something for you, they have a hard time doing something for you or showing up in a certain way, that's not necessarily grounds for leaving the relationship. Sometimes it is. But if couples are willing to grow and they're willing to take responsibility for their shortcomings, weaknesses, what their growth edges are, then that's where the relationship can become a vehicle for transformation. The reality is, in most long-term relationships, each person develops a frozen image of their partner. So you stop seeing the full dynamic, evolving human in front of you. You just see the pattern. They're defensive. They don't care. They always do this. And when you see them that way, you start reacting to that image instead of the actual person that's there in front of you. And the same thing happens on the other side. They've frozen you in time as well. So part of the work is learning how to melt the ice, how to see each other more clearly. And part of that pathway could be slowing down, staying present, choosing to look at each other with fresh eyes, even when it's hard. And I see couples do this all the time with dialogue. And that is one of the main tools that has helped me and my partner, Alyssa, create a totally different kind of relationship with each other, is to notice the frozen images that we have of each other, to notice how we treat each other sometimes like one of our parents, that we have an early template for a relationship. We have an idea in our psyche about what it looks like to be close to another person, what we can expect, what we should be afraid of. And we just play those scripts out with our adult partner. So part of the wisdom of that is we need to wake up to the fact that we're no longer at home with mom and dad. We can make different choices. So if you are in a relationship with a highly defensive person, you have to ask, where is my power here? Where has it gone? What am I responsible for? And what am I not? Because if your energy is completely focused on managing them and their emotional state, trying to fix them or reach them or get through to them, you can have this sense of giving your power away. And part of that power is just like not being centered and connected to yourself, right? Maybe a little disembodied, maybe a little elevated energy, really in your head or really anxious. And your power lives in your awareness. And from that awareness, you can make different kinds of choices. And you got to have boundaries, right? That's part of personal power. You know, in this situation, you got to ask yourself, is this a relationship that if it never changes or evolves from where it is now, would I still want to be in it? Would this be enough for me? And if you believed deeply in your own worth, if you held your needs, your voice, your boundaries, your truth to a higher place, a higher standard, would the behavior you're experiencing still be acceptable to you? Is there a part of you that makes excuses for someone who doesn't show up? And how long are you willing to stay stuck in a dynamic that is deeply painful for you? Now, there are moments between Alyssa and I where there are dynamics going on. We're in the mess of it. We're in the deep power struggle. And from that place, it's like, oh, if it was always like this, if it was always feeling hopeless, if it was always feeling just negative and we don't get each other, no, neither of us would want to be in that relationship, right? But what makes a difference is that we're both willing to grow. We're both willing to say, hey, let's change this together. Let's work on things. But if one partner is never willing to talk, never willing to work on things, unable to take responsibility, that's where some of these questions become really important. It's like, okay, well, if this never changes, would I still want to be in it? And that's going to connect to something else we're going to address here about what to do, or how do we know when it's time to leave, or when do we know that we've given it our best? Part of the reality here is that if your partner knew deep down how much pain you were in, would it change anything for them? Like, if we could really get through to them and they could sense what you are feeling, what you are going through, what it is like to be you in your body, would that change anything for them? Or would they not give a shit? Because the answer to that question matters. And not just what you imagine they might say, but really the truth. Like, if we gave them a chance to answer that, if we gave them a chance to really get it, to really feel it in their bones about what it's like to be you, for them to really deeply, deeply empathize, would it change things for them? And I think for most people, it would change things for them. But this question is an important inquiry because most of the time, the highly defensive partner, they don't get how much pain you're in. They are completely self-absorbed in their stress, their reality, and they don't sense you and your feelings. They are not able to empathize with you because they are completely absorbed with them. And while your pattern is at an extreme, all of us are self-absorbed in different ways. And we all have opportunities to work on this. So when couples come to work with me, one of the main challenges they have is that they have lost empathy for each other and are deeply identified with their own views and positions on things. Their view of the world, their idea of right and wrong. So we've got some growth opportunities here. This situation is painful, yes, but there are also some key things to consider because maybe you are being invited to reclaim your voice, to get honest about the patterns that you are repeating. Maybe you've got to let go of rescuing or managing or caretaking others all the time and learning to choose yourself, self-trust over self-abandonment. And sometimes that means staying together and growing together. And sometimes it means leaving with clarity and dignity. But either way, your next move can come from a place of love, not fear. And just to be crystal clear, when I say things like, this behavior isn't working anymore, or something needs to change, or this defensiveness is going to, ruin your relationship, I'm not suggesting that you give your partner some kind of firm ultimatum. And there is an important nuance here. Maybe it's the difference between a boundary and an ultimatum. They're so close that it's really like hard to pull them apart. But I think that an ultimatum comes from a place of fear or frustration. It's kind of reactive. And it can sound like, if you don't change, I'm leaving. Right? If you don't figure your shit out, I'm gone. And it's often a threat meant to control the other person's behavior and force them to do something. But a boundary might be taking responsibility for you. And maybe there's like an invitation in there. So, for example, I care about you and I want to keep building this with you, but I can't keep abandoning myself in the process. And here is what I need in order to stay connected and in integrity with myself. This is so important to me. Right? If you talk like that, that's not punishment, it's truth. So boundaries can come from clarity instead of a place of control. It can be an invitation to say, hey, this is how you can be closer to me. This is the kind of relationship that I really want. Here's the path to, really make me feel good and to have my heart, from a place of self-respect instead of reactivity. And the invitation to your partner is this, can we meet here? Can we meet here together and co-create something better? If they can't or won't, and they're really not willing, and you've had a few conversations to invite them, to let them know, maybe that's when you make a choice, but not because you've threatened them into changing, but because you are honoring yourself. So, in closing here, a defensive person, a defensive partner, the experience of that and the quality of defensiveness in them doesn't have to be the end of the story. For many people, it is the end of the story because they don't get support on this and they don't know how to work through it. One thing this is for sure, it is a signal on the dashboard of your car illuminating you to something that needs attention. It is telling you where the edges of growth are for both of you. And the more honest you can be with yourself about why you're here and what you're choosing, the more free you can become. And I really want freedom of relationship for myself and for everyone that listens to this. And freedom of relationship doesn't mean you're free of it, that you don't have relationships. It means you're free within the context of your relationship. You are free to be yourself. You are free to express and talk about things. You don't get tripped up every time you want to have an important conversation. That's the kind of, freedom. And it's a beautiful thing. So, thanks for listening. If this spoke to you, send it to someone who might need to hear it. And until next time, keep doing the work. Thank you guys for being here. It's amazing to have a audience of people who gives a shit about what I've got to say. And it's an honor for me to be able to say anything that's useful and helpful to you. So thanks for being here. As always, if you have not left a five-star review and you feel like I deserve one, please, Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, take a moment to do that. It makes a big difference for me in the show, gets this into the hands of other people, because this whole thing is self-sponsored. There's no ads, no BS, no wasting your time. And I hope you guys can appreciate that in a very noisy, chaotic world where everyone is trying to jam another product down your throat. So take good care of yourself. We will see you next week. Thanks for being here.